Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 43. What is written in the law? How readest thou? Luke 10:25-26. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What's written in the law? How readest thou?" When Jesus was approached and asked a question about obtaining eternal life, he always directed the seeker to the law. This point is not palatable to the modern saved-by-faith preachers. They'd rather quote, "Ye must be born again." Although being born again, or more correctly, born from above, is a practical concept and a reality to the Christian, it's not the response to any question about obtaining eternal life. Jesus always directed those who sought eternal life to the commandments of God. Why did he do that? If someone came to you and asked, "How may I obtain eternal life?" how would you answer? Jesus told such a person, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Mark 10:19, Matthew 19:17, Luke 18:20, all agree that his answer pointed the seeker in the direction of the commandments and promised, "Do this and you shall live." But where does grace and faith enter the question? Paul states, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." How do we reconcile the two seemingly opposing concepts?
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked. But even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. In his devotional meditations book entitled On the Questions of Jesus, Don Harris examines 150 questions that the Messiah posed. This book was the result of a personal devotional study that Don embarked upon a few years ago. After sharing several of his insights with others, he was encouraged to publish what the Lord was teaching him. And the conclusion was a 475-page devotional which examines the revealing questions Jesus asked and the answers given. As you hear Jesus ask the probing questions to his adversaries, acquaintances, seekers, and intimate disciples, you'll be challenged to examine your own life in respect to Christ's inquiries. As you hear his questions and consider your own answers, you're thrust into his time and he into yours. Words on a page become a live conversation. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867, that's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
How do we reconcile the two seemingly opposing concepts? If a child came to you and expressed a desire to buy a house and support himself, and asked how to accomplish this, your answer may be something like, "Stay in school and get an education." But if the same child came to you and asked you the same question 15 years later, your answer may be, "Get a job and save your money." And later, as an adult, if asked how to buy a house, your advice would be quite different yet again. One could insist that these advices are contradictory. and even wrong. After all, what in the world could going to school have to do with buying a house? But we all know how life consists of one thing that is built upon another that is built upon another. We know the boy's dream, and we know all the problems associated with it. We know the cost and responsibilities. We know the joy of owning a home will only happen in its fullness when all of his experience, character, talents, and assets will eventually allow him the home he desired from his youth. Simply put, Jesus was sending his young inquirer to school. Paul said, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Jesus knew what steps were first, and then second, and so on. Knowing the man had need of what the law taught, he directed him there to learn it. The man responded, "I have already been to school, and I'm ready to graduate." Jesus said, "Okay, here's your final exam. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Then you may graduate from the law." The man walked away, failing his exam. Paul taught that faith is the proper end result of tutelage under the schoolmaster law. He says, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Jesus taught us by this story that when we've graduated from this course in law, we would understand and obey the command to sell all we have and give it to the poor. On these grounds, most of us cannot claim to have learned all the law has to teach. Do you understand and obey the commandments? Many Christians today don't even know the commandments. How can you be sure that you obey rules that you do not know? Some think that the law is impertinent to the New Testament Christian. They say that Jesus taught that we're only to love God and our neighbor, and thus did away with the law. Some don't realize that Jesus quoted the law when he said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," Leviticus 19:18. Paul continues this idea in Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What did he say was fulfilled? The law. James learned this truth, for he wrote, "For if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." Paul confirms again, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Has fulfilled what? What did he say was fulfilled when love was prime? All through the commandments of God, we can see that the schoolmaster, law, has a wonderful lesson for us. The law is not and never has been an enemy to Christ. Although some may feel that the gospel offers no room to commandment keeping, the opposite is true. The schoolmaster, law, is no more an enemy of faith than phonics is an enemy of reading. It's true that there may be no use in drilling in phonics after one is proficient in reading, but the proficient reader would never set them aside. He would not withhold phonics from one who cannot read, nor would he have any reason to put phonics into disuse in his own life. And he certainly has no reason to despise them. Rather, one would think that they would be held in high esteem as a fundamental building block to his entire education. Just so, law should hold such a place in the heart of the Christian. The place that the law of God has had to assume in the life of the modern believer is appalling. We've been given our diplomas by sinful, greedy men who have bypassed the schoolmaster. We don't respect the law of God because we didn't come through the law. We don't know what our God expects from us because we're unfamiliar with what he plainly asked of his people in the past. The law is not an enemy to the true Christian. It is an enemy to the one who wishes to do his own will. It has value and is due a respect that it does not receive in modern churches. The modern Christian wrings his hands in prayer, asking God to reveal his will to him, give him instruction, or guide him in his everyday life, all the while his Heavenly Father's will is plainly written in the book that he carries with him, and yet ignored, put into disuse, and in some cases even despised. We act as foolish as an educated man, fully graduated, who now despises the teachers who taught him, when we turn our back on the holy commandments of God and say that they are no longer applicable, useful, or binding. How is it that we despise our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ? It's because many of us did not come to Christ through the law. We came another way. We came through the school that did not teach phonics. We learned by rote and sight and memory. We cannot read any word we see. We only know what we're taught. We cannot learn for ourselves. We learn the names for every word. We learn from men who supposedly knew. We didn't come the way Jesus taught. We came via the shortcut. We have no respect for the law because it was never our schoolmaster. Out of the hundreds listed, how many laws of God do we know? Granted, that may be unfair. That would be like asking a graduate to copy out the periodic tables from his chemistry class. But can we even recall the Ten Commandments? Many modern Christians do not even read the Old Testament, thinking its words irrelevant. The trouble is that most of us are not 4.0 graduates. I submit that we need not be straight-A students of the law to respect it, but I find it hard to believe that we possess a foundational faith if we can't even pass a basic exam of fundamentals. We may not have misgivings about a man's education because he cannot remember the atomic number of uranium, but we may well hold his education in doubt if he can't recite his ABCs. If you can't pass the basic exam that Jesus gave this rich young ruler, you must surmise that your education has suffered gaps, came from the wrong source, or was altogether faulty. Perhaps you dropped out early, shortcut, or cheated the system. Or it may be that you were socially promoted by unscrupulous teachers. It may be that you never even enrolled. But it is certain that you didn't graduate with honors if you can't pass the exam. Maybe you need to look at the curriculum again and do some lessons. Do you obey the law in your everyday life? Or do you count on grace to cover for you? Have you done your duty? Or are you depending on the love of God to overlook your shortcomings? Do you really love your neighbor as much as you love yourself? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Was the law ever your schoolmaster? Or did you come to graduate another way? Are you ready? Here's your exam. What's written in the law? How readest thou?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.